out of breath because I just finished another presentation. So I want to sort of acknowledge my colleagues, John Stewart and Kathy Mayfield-Smith, who are involved in our GIS unit as part of our division, as part of this work. I have potentially no conflict, except that I do acknowledge the South Carolina Department of Health and Human Services for allowing us to use their data in terms of this presentation. So I want to illustrate the use of geospatial methods for maternal and child health data visualization and analysis. And I know that lots of health departments have GIS components with them, and lots of units do GIS. This is sort of a unique approach in that we created an Adobe PDF environmental scan. And so for the first time, you could take a series of 40-plus maps with data tables and a whole series of other outlays of information and allow the individual to click on and to literally explore the data interactively using Adobe. And so although you won't see the Adobe interaction with it, I want to sort of walk you through the methodology and its approach in terms of targeting local health care needs and how we used it in South Carolina for purposes of planning and decision making at the local level. And so for South Carolina, we're really focused, as are lots of other states, on the issue of reducing long birth weight births through quality improvement, Medicaid reform, and care coordination. And we have, and I'm doing a presentation later on, that sort of talks about a 47% relatively drop over a period of 18 months to the reduction of elective inductions, 37 to 38 weeks, using this very targeted approach, as well as the collaboration associated with the Birth Outcomes Initiative. So one of the first things we did is we looked at geographical clustering of hotspots. Where are these low birth weights? What do we know statistically is significant? Where are these hotspots? And we also then use a technology that we oftentimes use in our shop called ring maps, which allowed us to look at various different components within the context of various different issues. So here we have Medicaid low birth weight babies, which is that first inner circle. And then we wanted to take a look at that from the perspective of diversity, 2012 and then predicting it out to 2017. Part of the issue for us is because we have targeted interventions over a long period of time, we needed to know something about the shifting of populations. We also wanted to take a look at, as part of this, and this was the presentation I just came off of, opioid use among women of childbearing age, 18 to 34, is a major component associated with our birth outcomes. So we were looking at these sort of separate maps, geographic access to OBGYN care at the county level, primary care practices versus secondary practices. And this is really kind of a critical element to what we do in our shop. Because oftentimes, when you look at state registries, what you get is the primary care, their one unique location in which they're registered as being their place of practice. What we have done is we have brought in several distinct data sets of providers, both the Medicaid, the managed care, as well as MPI, and then all of the state professional licensing organizations' data, into create a rubric that allows us to understand whether it's a primary site, a secondary site, or a tertiary site. This tells us something about full-time equivalency, as well as where are there true gaps. And so we looked at it in terms of the percent of women 15 to 44, women of childbearing age, in terms of OBGYN care access. This is the ratio again, looking at it from the perspective of hotspots. And so let me talk a little bit about the environmental scan. It's a process, and we wanted to look at and detect and project local patterns and trends in order to bring into bear population health, social determinants of health, healthcare accessibility, and health service utilization. So we wanted to be able to give a user an awful lot of data in one shot in order to begin to be able to understand where to target these local resources. We also wanted to identify gaps between local health needs and resources and to prioritize areas for targeted intervention and to encourage local healthcare partnerships and innovation. We've also used this very similar intervention in terms of an environmental scan for an uninsured program that Medicaid has established with all of the local hospitals, as well as partnerships across different access organizations. We use Esri ArcGIS Desktop Advanced with a variety of different tools, and then we use the network analysis extension to look at distance. And all of it is published in a dynamic PDF, which is exported in PDF layers, and that allows the individual, as I said, to function with it in a dynamic kind of interactive format. Our thinking was lots of individuals don't have ArcGIS. Lots of individuals, in terms of the size of their drives, can't handle 40-plus maps. It's hard to email. It's hard for people to look at patterns. But using this within the context of a dynamic PDF, it really does allow us to identify MCH high needs area, local areas of high social economic deprivation, access local healthcare resources and accessibility to map the gaps, and to, as I mentioned before, identify the potential gaps. So this is what that first introductory screen looks like. And so we're able to map such things as the perinatal level hospitals, the facilities. So for example, we put in there Healthy Start locations, nurse family partnerships. We looked at the 6 Medicaid planning regions that are sort of subdivided across the state, so that if I'm interested in a particular region, I can bring up all of the information regarding that region. We also look at Medicaid low birth weight hotspots, and we looked at non-Medicaid low birth weight hotspots. Part of the work of the Birth Outcomes Initiative, it's a partnership across multiple state agencies, including our State Department of Health and Environmental Control, our Hospital Association, Medicaid, and a variety of other different entities. And Medicaid, along with several of the entities across, were one of the few states that really has an all-payers linked data system. And so it really does allow for some terrific, fruitful analysis. And Medicaid has a partnership through a data use agreement with the Health Department and the Hospital Association that allows us to bring in the birth data from those two entities that allow us to look at birth certificate as well as the hospital. This becomes critically important as you're trying to understand exclusions as they relate to what is appropriate C-sections instead of mapping overall C-section rates. We also looked at such things as the Palmetto Small Area Deprivation Index, and that will be published shortly by our unit. And basically, we wanted to understand the intersection between high social economic need and chronic disease patterns. When we look at such things as HRSA, when we look at such things as the kind of high need areas for a state like South Carolina, all 46 counties come up as high. And so we wanted to build something that was at a lower unit of geography, a ZCTA level, that allow us to identify communities, in essence, this notion of how do you build communities of care if you don't have a sense of where those areas intersect. We looked at percent of households with incomes less than 15,000, C-section rates, C-section charges, average NICU days, and percent of NICU babies. Again, it allowed us to look at these variety of different maps by the ability of the individual to go in and click those different layers of that per screen. It also allowed you to look at concurrent issues or domains across a particular geographical area. So, for example, some regions are particularly high risk for poor maternal and child health outcomes, but they're higher in other areas. So when we looked at Williamsburg County, a county in South Carolina, we saw that they had a high C-section rate, high rates of births with NICU, and high rates of low birth weight babies. But you notice that the segments or the sections where those occur tended to be slightly different. And so again, from the perspective of a unit of analysis, it allowed us to do that. The Palmetto SADI, or PSADI, allows us to identify these pockets in the state. These are dark blue are high deprivation rural, the orange are high deprivation urban, and the gray are low to moderate deprivation. And so if you're wanting to target particular interventions, you want to be able to understand where those greatest high needs areas are. And more importantly, you want to be able to understand that those interventions may not lend themselves well to a full counting, but rather that those partnerships and those community resources need to be concentrated around a particular section of the county, although in some counties you may have that it's the entire county that is a high-need area. So, for example, we wanted to look at subvariations of social economic status, and this is an example of Berkeley County. And so you can see that the scan can show you high localized areas of low household income in parts of Berkeley County, even though when you look at it on a county level, the whole county is relatively affluent. And let me share with you a story. There is one section of the upper part of our state in Greenville County where when we did Palmetto City, it had a CCTA area comprised of two or three zip code areas. Those zip code areas accounted for 70% of unnecessary ED visits into that hospital. And so over the course of about 6 years, we've been able to look at P-SADE and some of the predictors with a high confidence level of about 90% level of accuracy when we're looking at the Medicaid population in conjunction with these other variables. When we look at both low birth weight babies as it relates to perinatal care, it also allows us to look at some gaps relative to services because some of these hospitals, and when you look at issues of transferring between high-need NICU into a more rural community, it presents different kinds of problems as well as resources that are needed. And I know I'm preaching to the choir. What this allows us to do is to kind of put these pieces together in health planning and policy. It allows us to look at maternal and child health from a multitude of different dimensions, starting with our ring map concept that allows us to look at prevalence rates, or it allows us to look at chronicity across a variety of different variables, while shading those areas that are the highest needs across those multiple dimensions that you're identifying. It allows us to add in social determinants of health, because at the end of the day, we really want to understand communities within the context of higher levels of understanding, social economic. We want to be able to understand in terms of resources. We want to be able to understand in terms of race. We want to be able to understand in education and a variety of different factors. It also allows us to build in the built environment. So, for example, we can look at this relative to where are appropriate food markets. We can look at this from the perspective of whether we find that there are higher rates of obesity, or we find that there are higher rates of maternal depression as it relates to postpartum. We can look at this from a variety of different elements and then add into that the provider community as well as what levels of gaps exist as well as what the strengths are. We've also additionally geocoded all of the churches in the entire state, along with the services that they provide, because, again, part of the outreach and community is really connecting to some of their community resources. Medicaid agency in South Carolina used this strategy to identify the introduction of a community health workers program and then aligning those community health workers with communities, with practices associated with some of these poor outcomes and some of the outreach and education activities. And so, again, it allows us to do it in a variety of different ways. In terms of healthcare providers, Medicaid recently introduced a telemedicine OBGYN project as part of a proviso from our state legislature. It allowed us to identify those counties truly, not using the primary location of those providers, but really to understand where were those counties where we had part-time OBGYN providers versus those counties where we had a full presence of multitude providers based on the overall population. Tracking and evaluation initiatives, we're currently using this to look at how differences have changed over those particular rates that we're looking at through a variety of different birth outcomes, as well as ESPR, screening behavioral referral intervention, thank you. and it's allowing us to look at changing patterns as a result of these interventions. It also is allowing the Medicaid agency to begin to look at if we need to target additional resources in new programs, where do we want to make sure that we begin to build partnerships and create communities around these multitude of different initiatives. In South Carolina, you have some counties that are persistent poverty counties going back to the 1950s. And so it takes a strong, concerted effort in terms of addressing the multitude of needs in those communities. And then lastly, it allows us to translate data into policy with some of the examples that I have given you. This is a quote that we have in our office that we rely on quite heavily, and that is that maps are the workbench on which ideas are fashioned in a manner that permits them to be argued and oftentimes tested. As someone who describes herself as a social epidemiologist, I can talk about these issues day and night, but if I can bring out a map, and I can have you interact, and I can have you identify your community and your resources, suddenly the dialogue begins to change, and we can talk about solutions as opposed to arguing as to whether the data is correct or not. Thank you.
Here is some passion. I love the passion. And we have a couple minutes for questions for Dr. DeFeat, if anybody has any.
Right, so we used a couple of things. Medicaid has their listed for Medicaid providers and their list. So one of the things that we automatically do as part of our geocoding process is we'll clean up that data, because we oftentimes find that that data is horribly not geocodable. How's that? And then we go about bringing in MPI numbers from CMS. We download those on a monthly basis, and then bring them in. And then we have forged a relationship with our professional licensing organizations across the state, where we get their list of certified providers across the state, and then we geocode all of those. And then we've created an algorithm where we are able to identify primary, secondary, and tertiary sites for all of those providers. We've also bring in all of the state agency information. So for example, with an organization like DAOTIS, who provides the drug and substance abuse services in the state, we're also able to bring in their providers. And so it allows us to really get a much better understanding of where the gaps are, because we know that this particular provider may work part of their time with the health department, other times they may work at an FQHC, federally qualified health clinic, other time may be part of a private practice. And so it really does give us a better sense of where those potential gaps are.
Let's give another round of applause.